Morning. I wonder, did you listen to the words that Pete just sung for us? Because my sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. What a glorious gospel we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read together from verse 17. And we're going to read down to the end of verse 40. It's a well-known story, but it's one of the most tremendous stories in the whole of the Old Testament. And I want to tell you before we read it, it's very relevant to you and I today. So 1 Kings 18 and verse 17. And the Word of God reads, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather unto me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets. till the blood gushed out from them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening, of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. God will bless to our heart the public reading of His word. Let's bow in prayer to that effect. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for this great and memorial day in the history of Your people Israel. We thank Thee, our Father, for a prophet used mightily of Yourself. We pray, our Father, that as we examine this narrative, that we might realize that the God of Elijah still lives. We pray that we may know today that Thy voice has spoken, Thy word has been declared. We pray for we who are Thy children by faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be challenged away from compromise, that we may be faithful to the Lord God of heaven. Father, we ask for any in this meeting who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that You would be gracious to them, that You would be merciful to them, that even today they might be saved. So bless us now to this end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The most of this narrative is to do with the people of God and the need that God had to deal with His people. The part of the narrative that applies to the unbeliever is the dealing with the false prophets. And I want to suggest to you that it should be today an alarm to those that know not Christ. And it should be an awakening to those who know Him. Last Lord's Day, or the last Lord's Day morning, I spoke about the sin and the wickedness of the nation to which God called Elijah. I want to suggest to you that there is a great insight in the 17th verse of the 18th chapter. When Elijah meets Ahab, there is a wealth of understanding in the question that Ahab asks. He turns to Elijah and he says to Elijah, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" I want to suggest to you this morning that to the ungodly, and the Bible declares for us that that Ahab was an ungodly man who walked not in the ways of the Lord. To the ungodly, they are never to blame for their sin. They're never to blame for the circumstances brought about by their sin. And the judgment that comes upon their sin is always deemed by them to be unfair and to be the fault of another. And Ahab comes, the king of Israel, he comes to Elijah, the prophet of God, and he says, "You're the one that's caused all the problems in Israel." You know, there are those who would tell you that it's those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that have caused all the problem in America today. That it's our fault that America is on the decline. I would reverse that, and I would say that it's our fault only in one sense, and that is that we have not been like Elijah, and we have not preached the Word of God as God declares it. The problem in America today is that we are compromising by changing what God said. Let me give you an example. 9/11 was a tragedy. 9/11 was a disgrace by any standards. But there were three men who stood out, and they said that it was God speaking to the United States, and that the United States of America should examine their place before God. Many people, politicians and religious leaders, called on these three men to apologize. And two of them did. They apologized for telling the people of America that in all that happened in the great tragedy of 9/11, God was speaking just as He spoke on Mount Carmel in the days of Elijah. One man stood up and said, "I will not take back my remarks. I believe that this is a message from God to the whole nation." Elijah had a message from God for the whole nation, and Elijah wasn't going to compromise. So when Ahab came to him and said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Elijah looked at Ahab and he said, no, it's not me that's troubling Ahab, troubling Israel. It is you and your fathers in your departure from the commandments that God has given. The turning away of the people from the true worship of God to the worship of Balaam. We are an amazing people. We are an amazing people. Within 2 weeks of 9/11, there was a court case going on in Texas where politicians were trying to make a judge remove statements from the wall of his courthouse. What statements were they? They were the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. We are not allowed to bring God into the courthouse. We are not allowed to bring God into the schools. We are not allowed to have God worshipped openly unless we take the word God and we make it to fit all the gods of all the religions. I want to tell you, Elijah would have a field day today. Elijah would do and could do the same thing as a rebuke to the nation of the United States of America as he did as a rebuke to the people of Israel. Now let me tell you something. I love the United States of America. I think the United States of America is the greatest nation on earth. But I want to tell you that doesn't change one thing that I have said to you. Not one. For to love this nation is to realize that the Word of God says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Elijah turns to Ahab and he says, I want you to get your 850 prophets. I want you to get them onto Mount Carmel. I want you to gather together all the people of God, all the people of Israel. I want to meet you on Mount Carmel. I want to tell you, even though he was a man of human weakness, and we'll see that this evening, Elijah was a man who didn't believe in compromise. He wasn't interested in being popular with the people. He was interested in being faithful to God. And I want to suggest to you that as we see the scene set, the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves, the people of Israel and Ahab, the only one missing was Jezebel, and I would love her to have been there too. I want you to notice the purpose. Because if we fail to see the purpose, then it just becomes another story from the Word of God that doesn't do anything. The purpose is to establish the fact that the God of Isaac, of Abraham, and of Jacob, Jehovah, is the one true God. Oh, I know that they tell us that we need to allow those who worship Allah to have freedom. The man who was executed in Virginia the other night was told that he could make a statement to the world before he died. And he said, there is no God but Allah. His only statement. If it had been Elijah, Elijah would have just said, my name means my God is Jehovah. The recognition of who God is and who God declares himself to be with what was at stake on Mount Carmel. Elijah said to the people, The God who answers by fire, He is God. The God who answers by fire. Not only is it to vindicate God, Elijah says, I only am left faithful as a prophet of God. So it's to vindicate the prophet. And I believe that's a very important thing. The third thing is the destruction of a false religion. You see, we have become so wishy-washy today that the great word on our lips and in our ears is tolerance. Tell me, do you ever hear anybody being tolerant to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I have a dear friend, and possibly this coming Lord's Day when I'm in Belfast, I'll be in his church and listening to him preaching. And he told me about being at the Parliament in London. And he said one day he spoke about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Joe, I'm not telling you a word of a lie. He said there were politicians leaning over the benches, screaming, foaming at the mouth, screaming, we don't want to hear about your Jesus. Keep your Jesus to yourself. Now there's tolerance for you, isn't it? On Mount Carmel, God turns the hearts of His people by destroying Balaam. And I want to tell you, the God of Elijah is the God of heaven today. And the God of Elijah still lives. And every false religion and every denier of Jesus Christ and every rejecter of Jesus Christ shall come under the same judgment that the prophets of Baal came under. You see, God is not going to tolerate that which is evil. God is not going to tolerate the tearing down of His Son and the establishing of false gods. Billy Graham once said that if God does not judge the United States of America, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Tell me, do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that there is an equation between Sodom and Gomorrah and the United States of America today? Even being the best nation in the world, there is a very clear equation. And one of the purposes of God and one of the purposes of God's servant on the Mount Carmel was the destruction of false religion. I was bought a new bookshelf, and I was sorting out my books, putting them in better order, and I found a booklet that I hadn't seen for probably 10 years. And it says, too many so-called Christians are in bed with Jezebel and Ahab. And I sat and I read through into the early hours of this morning. I sat and I read through all the different statements that the writer wrote about the things that God condemned in His Word that Ahab and Jezebel permitted, and the things that God condemns in His Word that the United States of America allows and permits today. I want to tell you, it made for horrible reading. it made for horrible reading. And there is a day coming when, just as the prophets of Baal were destroyed on Mount Carmel, there's a day coming when God will exalt His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will judge the world in righteousness in Jesus Christ. But I want to get to the challenge of Elijah, because it was to turn the hearts of God's people. It was to make a difference in the lives of God's people. And the challenge that Elijah gives to the people of God is, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long is it going to take you to make up your minds? When are you going to step down off the fence? If the Lord be God, follow Him. And if Baal be God, follow him. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, there are people in this meeting, or there may be, who have known the gospel for many years, and they're still halting between two opinions. They're still choosing to live the lives they live and not to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior that they need. But you know, just as sad as that, there are many believers today, and they're halting between two opinions. Oh yes, they've made a profession of faith. They've made sure that they're never going to be in hell. But when you examine the lives that they're living, it's very obvious they're not absolutely convinced of the truth of the gospel. I went into the prayer meeting this morning, and I said that the Sunday school lesson we heard this morning was one of the best lessons I have ever heard in any Sunday school. Why? Because it was to do with the purpose of God, bringing glory to the name of God. And that's what your life for Christ, that's what the life of those who are redeemed is to be about. It's to be about bringing glory to God and glory to the name of God. That's what Mount Carmel was all about, you know. Who is the God of Elijah? Who is the God of glory? Who is the God who is worthy of the worship of the hearts of His people? And there were two opinions. Oh, how many times when I've preached the gospel, people have told me that the gospel is my opinion. The gospel is God's opinion. Now, you can argue with me, and that won't ever cause you very much pain. But I want to tell you, if you're arguing with God, you're in a very dangerous, dangerous place. But let's get on to what happened. I find it one of the most humorous passages in the Word of God. Elijah says, two bullocks, you take one of them, you build your altar, I'll take one of them, and I'll build my altar. I want to notice something. Elijah didn't worship at the altar of the prophets of Baal. They had their altar and their God. Elijah had his altar and the Lord God of heaven. But Elijah stood back as they dressed the bullock and put it on the wood and put no fire under it. You know what I find humorous? Baal is the name of the sun god. I guess if you'd stayed there long enough and you had a magnifying glass, You could have got something from the sun to start some sort of fire under the sacrifice. But the Word of God says that they started crying unto Baal, and they started crying unto Baal. They started leaping and jumping onto the altar. They started cutting themselves with knives and with lancets. And there was no answer. I love to listen to Elijah. Let me read this. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be waked." Can you imagine Elijah mocking the prophets of Baal, the false prophets? Oh, we're too nice to do that today, aren't we? Too nice to be faithful to God. That's one of the problems. Not caring enough. I remember being in a meeting one night, and the man who was in the pulpit tore the Word of God to pieces, tore the gospel of Jesus Christ to pieces, and one of my best friends walked out of the meeting, and he looked at me and he said, "Man, I was just thinking during that meeting, Joe will be angry." I wondered why he wasn't angry. You see, that's what's happening in the church today. The church today isn't for the glory of God. The church today is for the glory of preachers. The church today is for the glory of men, for the thoughts of men, for the ideas of men. Elijah wanted to be vindicated, but he didn't want any of the glory. He gave all the glory to God. And when they had finished their charade, when they had done all that they could do, and all that they could do was nothing, Elijah steps up. He takes the altar of stone made with the 12 stones that speak of the relationship of the children of Israel with the Lord Jehovah. And he restores the altar of the Lord. And then he sets the wood in order, and he sets the bullock on the wood. And then he turns to the people of God and he says, "Now I want you to go and get barrels of water. I want you to dig a big trench around the altar, and I want you to pour the water on. I want you to do it again. I want you to do it again. 12 barrels of water. So that the sacrifice, the wood, the stones were saturated. And the pit they dug around the altar was full of water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice." You know what that means? That means that this was nothing new for God. This is what God had already established in the lives of His people. And Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, that I am Thy servant, that I have done all these things at Thy word." Verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. You see, he is the God who answered by fire. But Elijah identifies him as the Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel. And there are people today who are ashamed of that title. They're ashamed of it. Because it causes division, you see, and we mustn't cause division. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus said the gospel would cause division. The gospel would cause division between husbands and wives and parents and children and families. Why? Because there would be those who believe and there would be those who reject. There would be those who would worship the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And there are those who would go away still desiring to worship Baal in all his weakness and impotence. My time is almost gone. I want to draw out some lessons for you. Elijah, at the altar at the time of the evening sacrifice, speaks to us of Calvary's cross. That whereas men looked at Elijah's offering that day, God says, I don't want you to look at the offering of Elijah. I want you to look at the offering of my son, the one who in his death brought to an end all the sacrificial system. And the God of Calvary and the God of Carmel are one and the same. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the first lesson we learn is that the God of Elijah still lives and will judge the world in righteousness. It is an awful thing to think of. It brings no joy, or ought not to bring joy, to the heart of any preacher to tell you that hell is a reality and real people go there. But if we do not tell you the truth, we convince you of a lie and we leave you in great danger. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you're standing with the prophets of Baal. You're standing against God. You're standing against Christ. And there's a judgment day coming. The second thing I want to say to you is this. The place of repentance for sinners and the place of renewal for the people of God is the same place. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. No man is ever going to be in heaven. No woman is ever going to be in heaven. No man is ever going to see the glory of Christ until they've been to the cross where Jesus died. That's the place that sinners have to come to. I love the old hymn writer who put it so simply, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, it's never changed, beloved. And it never will. For while sinners need forgiveness, they can only come to the person who can forgive. While the sinner needs cleansing, he can only come to the place where the blood was shed. Where a sinner needs to be reconciled to God, they can only come to that place where the eternal Son of God, nailed to a cross, did all that was necessary that we might be reconciled to God. But it's the place of renewal for the people of God. It's a place where the child of God comes to deal with compromise. Where the child of God comes and says, God, show me what in my life that takes away from your glory. No, God, don't just show me it. Take me to the cross and deal with it. The Lord challenges you and I this morning, as He challenged Israel, to a renewal of their relationship. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Writing to the church at Laodicea, the Lord Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. He says, I'll restore fellowship. I'll renew hearts. The Laodicean church is the church of today, where because of compromise and a false gospel, Jesus has been pushed outside the door. The place that we as the people of God need to get to is back to the cross. To deal with the compromise. To deal with the pride. Go home and read for yourself Revelation chapter 3. What God says to the church of the Laodiceans. He says, I know how you see yourself. I know that you see yourself as having everything and needing nothing. But he says, as I look to the church of the last days, I see what Elijah saw when he looked at Israel. He says, thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked. That's God's description. And the awful thing is that very often in my own life, it's God's description of me. Because I have become so taken up with the world that I've made neat little compromises. I've found my comfort level. And God doesn't want us to do that. God didn't want Israel to do it in the days of Elijah because it denied God His glory. God doesn't want His people to do it today because it denies God His glory. Child of God, it's not my place to examine you. The Word of God says very clearly, let a man examine himself. But examine yourself in the light of Mount Carmel. No, examine yourself in the light of Mount Calvary. You know what they said? In 1 Kings chapter 20, where is the God of Elijah? Where is our God today? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of grace, the God of grace, not the God of man's works. Not the God who rewards men for their trying to get to heaven, But the God who sent His Son and made provision and grace that sinners would be saved and would bring glory to His name. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee that You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of Elijah who still lives, the God who hates sin, the God who will judge in righteousness those who reject the person of His Son. Father, we pray if there are any in the meeting this morning that by Your Spirit they may come to understand that these are not the words of man, but these are the very words of God. And oh, Father, we pray that even today one who knows not Christ would even today come and trust the Savior. Come and get right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as You examine the hearts of Your children, that we with You might examine our own hearts, that we may put right the compromises, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Help us to look unto Jesus and to run the race that is